here. Henry's sweet spot right up the gut.
I'm sorry, Clay. I'm sorry, Kenny. I'm sorry, Jason. My fault. I mean, your team is so small, so weak, so soft. Like, the Ravens are just the opposite of that, aren't they? My God, Derrick Henry. Did you hear about basically he doesn't eat until late in the day? He might have a banana or an avocado before 4 p.m., but that's it. He basically goes to practice with nothing but a banana or an avocado in his stomach. Didn't Dallas have a chance to sign Derrick Henry? Didn't he want to play in Dallas? Doesn't he live in Dallas, Denton? That was funny. By the way, speaking of, you know, the Ravens being the opposite of the Cowboys, pretty much the opposite is the way you should think about the NFL, right? Especially early in the season. What you think will happen, just assume the opposite will happen. Another crazy, crazy Sunday in the NFL. Maybe tonight will be something we can add to the zaniness of week three. Good morning. One guest on the show, Ben Standig, will be on with us from Cincinnati at noon. I've got Washington beat Cincinnati if coming up. Denton and I will have predictions at the end of the show. We'll go around the NFL in great detail. I do want to talk a little bit about Tom Brady on the broadcast of Ravens Cowboys yesterday. It was the first time I've actually heard Brady, because I didn't get him in week one because Washington was playing Tampa at the same time. And I think I didn't get him in week two because Washington and the Giants were playing at the same time. I have some thoughts on Brady. Denton's got a college football weekend recap, and Cliff Kingsbury said something the other day in an answer to a question about Jaden Daniels that seemed pretty obvious to me. We'll get to all of that and more, but man, I mean, when you least expect it, the Giants, the Broncos, the Panthers all went on the road as 0-2 teams and didn't just cover, as the smell test suggested they might. They won the games outright. Why not Jacksonville and Washington on the card on the road tonight? Denton, underdogs of 5.5 points or more so far through the first or nearly 3 weeks completed of the season, 13-2. Against the number, 9 outright wins. The Skins are 7.5-point dogs as of right now. That would make them the largest underdog of week three. The first 2 weeks of the season, as we talked about last week, have produced the biggest underdog as an outright winner. New England week one as an 8.5-point underdog at Cincinnati. Last week, the Raiders is the biggest underdog of the week at Baltimore. The league just never makes sense. It's always been week to week. But over the first month to 6 weeks of a season, it is outrageously unpredictable. I mean, New Orleans scored 91 points in the first 2 weeks, 12 yesterday. Your only undefeated 3-0 teams in the NFC, Minnesota and Seattle. Who had that? How about this? The best quarterback performances of the day yesterday belong to, get this list, Sam Darnold, Andy Dalton, Daniel Jones, Bo Nix, and Malik Willis. I mean, that was the best quarterbacking of the day yesterday. Sam Darnold, Andy Dalton, Daniel Jones, Bo Nix, and Malik Willis. Willis, left for dead after two seasons in Tennessee, had the highest QBR of the day, 92.3. I'm sorry, 92.9. He was 13 of 19 for 202 yards and a touchdown. He rushed for 73 yards and a touchdown, all part of the Packers' 30-14 win over Willis's former team, the Titans, on the road. Matt LaFleur, damn good coach. He was here. The NFL's unpredictability, I mean, on full display right now through the first 3 weeks of the season, almost complete. Nobody's got a clue about this league. That's what makes all of the hand-wringing over weeks 1, 2, and 3 so hysterical to anybody that bets the league. Those of us that have been betting the league understand it from that perspective at the very least. Okay? Nobody really that hasn't played the game can explain to you the X's and O's inside, you know, technique on pass blocking for a right tackle versus a left tackle. But I'll tell you what, as fans, especially those that bet the league, you know that you have no clue other than maybe one or two things early in the season every year. Like, okay, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are, of course, if he stays upright, a major contender once again. That's about the only thing we really know through nearly 3 weeks completed. Although, man, did they get helped out last night. Did you see that missed PI in the end zone? The dude tackled Kyle Pitts in the back of the end zone, no call. But this league is a total mystery. It's what makes it like the best, you know, the best sports entertainment product there is. I mean, one of the best entertainment products altogether. It's such a great reality show. And that's why tonight, of course, Washington can win the game. Here's the thing about the NFL in the early part of the season, and I would say this is like for at least 6 weeks, all right? You don't have to be a good team now. You just have to win enough games here and there, all right? So that if you actually become a good team later on in the season, you can do something about it. And that's where, by the way, tonight for the 0-2 Bengals, it becomes really important for them. You know, just four teams since 1990 have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. Now, we don't have enough data yet with a 17-game schedule and an expanded playoff field. We went to 7 per conference from 12 to 14 in 2020. And I would imagine that we'll see more 0-3 teams make it in the coming years. But still, the Bengals need a win here and there, so that if they become a more consistent and a better team later in the season, they can do something about it, meaning make the playoffs. That's really the key for most teams that have any kind of aspirations in the first month, 2 months of the season. It's like just win enough. You don't have to be good. Just win enough so that if you become good, then those games matter. And as far as our team goes, I mean, you know, harvesting a few nuts here and there early in the season, as Eddie Jordan might say, would make things interesting later on in the season. Nobody's expecting it. I understand that. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you're expecting. It's the NFL. I know many of you have continued to refer to this as, you know, a building block season. And that's fine. But, you know, Houston thought that's what they were in the midst of last year. Before that, the Giants and the Seahawks thought the same thing. They were terrible in 2021. They both made the postseason in 2022. I get it. Teams led by rookie quarterbacks are typically in building block situations. You know, but Dan Quinn, his staff, Joe Witt Jr., Cliff Kingsbury, the players, they're not going out there tonight thinking, hey, let's just try to improve in this building block season. You know, no worries if we win or lose. That's fine. Let's just get better. They're not thinking that. They've been game planning all week to win tonight in Cincinnati, not improve against the Bengals. And if they do beat the Bengals tonight, the building block talk will quiet down a bit at 2-1. But let me be totally clear. Like, I am okay if we get to the end of the season and we say Jaden Daniels is the real deal. The coaching staff did a great job. Adam Peters got some really good young players. The future is bright, even though the team went, you know, 7-10. That's fine. But tonight, no. Let's go blanking win the game and try to have a season, because It's totally open for almost anybody to have a season in the NFL. I'd much rather, by the way, have a building block season, if that's what it turns into, that includes games later in the season that matter a little bit. You know, I don't want to be in December as like a 4-10 or a 5-10, you know, or 5-9 team. It'd be much more beneficial to all of your young players that you believe are going to be a part of a winning future to play games during those months that matter, even if they ultimately come up short in a building block season. And look, it's only week three, but at 1-1, tonight's got meaning. It does. I can't wait for this game tonight. I think there's definitely a path to a win tonight. And then again, you know, anything could happen. They could look terrible. They could look Panther-like from last week. They could look Bronco-like from last week. They could look Giant-like, like week one. But that actually wouldn't matter anything when it comes to their next game at Arizona. Let's get to a what do you got.
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
So here's an indication that the franchise has changed with the ownership of Josh Harris and Mitchell Rales and Magic Johnson and the other 20 or so limited partners. After tonight, Washington's heading to Arizona. They're going to be out in Arizona for the week. That's what I've been told. I don't know. Maybe that's been reported to at this point. I don't follow everybody, but maybe that has been reported. That's a big cost to the organization to move that whole team out to Arizona. They play Arizona Sunday. They're playing Monday Night Football. It's a short week. The last regime over the last few years, I mean, they barely got, you know, an allowance for meals on the road. Seriously, you have no idea how cheap Snyder became over the last several years of ownership. I mean, look at the stadium. He let it start to fall apart right in front of our very eyes. There's no way. This is the guy that early on was, hey, what's the cost of that player and that player? Just tell him we'll give him 20% more than anybody else. That should get him. Coaches, doesn't matter. Players, doesn't matter. We are big spenders. Not in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Not at all. And what happened was, clearly, all of the non-broadcast revenue that is split 32 ways, that had shrunk so significantly that the bottom line was starting to look better. Not that they needed help, all right? Because the valuation of the team kept climbing regardless of the results. But there's no way that this last ownership, that Snyder would have gone straight from Cincinnati to Arizona and absorbed the cost of that. So there is an indication, not to mention just everything else these guys have done. I mean, you may say, oh, it's a drop in the bucket what they've done with the stadium. $75 to $80 million is not a drop in the bucket for anybody other than Bezos and Musk and a few others. I mean, it's real money. Like, especially after paying $6 billion for the team. They are trying their best to make this first class, because it wasn't. And these things matter. They matter when you get into things like signing players that are coming up on free agency, your own and others. Like right now, I was listening to Alex Smith yesterday, and it took everything in his being not to say what I think he really wanted to say. But he just essentially said about the Carolina Panthers, who went out and won big with Andy Dalton, a quarterback, in Vegas, after Vegas had beaten Baltimore the week before. He said, there's no way you could pay me anything to get me to go to Carolina. Remember, he got traded to come here. Now, he had to approve it, yes, but there weren't many options for Alex Smith there. He said about David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers, there isn't enough money
to get me to go there. And he said they're not going to be able to sign any players as long as they continue to conduct business the way they've conducted it. He was very protective of Bryce Young. Not because he thinks Bryce Young's going to be a great quarterback, but because he thinks, you know, four coaches or five coaches in 18 months is absurd, or whatever it's been, which it is. Washington's changed from that standpoint. We now are not the rock bottom. We're not the place that people would say absolutely never, ever, ever, unless I have no choices. And these are the little things, they seem little, but they're actually big deals that end up paying off for you when you get to the offseason. Now, what would really pay off is to have an exciting quarterback, an exciting coaching staff, and an exciting team on the verge of winning something and contending for something. That helps too. And that's the process that this group is in right now. By the way, I was looking at something last night. Stayed up late last night. I watched the game last night. And then for whatever reason, I had this feeling that Washington versus Cincinnati, that Washington has played, I didn't know if it was Cincinnati. I thought it was potentially Cincinnati or the Chargers that we've played the least amount in the history of the organization. And it turns out that Cincinnati, if you count the teams that have been teams and haven't moved, you know, and we take expansion teams out of the equation, if you count the teams that have been in the league since the merger in 1970, Washington's played two teams the fewest number of times. And I was actually right. Cincinnati was one of them. Kansas City was the other. The Chargers were not the other one. But they've played Cincinnati just 11 times in their history. And they have played the Chiefs just 11 times in their history. With the Bengals, by the way, they are 5-5-1. Now, again, that doesn't count teams like the Jags and the Texans, who, you know, were expansion teams in the AFC. Remember, you know, the teams that they've played the fewest number of times are in the AFC. They've played all of the NFC teams lots of times, obviously, in the NFC East. But in the AFC, the fewest number of encounters were against the Bengals and the Chiefs. So they'll play their 12th game against the Bengals tonight, which will make the Chiefs the team they have faced the fewest number of times in their history. The Chargers, by the way, were next in line with the Patriots at 12. So I almost got it right. I just missed the Chiefs. 5-5-1. They've never played Cincinnati on Monday night, and tonight will be that first opportunity. Remember, Washington has a two-game win streak on Monday Night Football. Actually, if you count the 2020 COVID game against Pittsburgh, remember that was a rescheduled game for Monday. It started at 5 p.m. on Monday. God, 2020 was weird, wasn't it? I mean, forget about personally. From a sports consumption standpoint, we had games on Monday afternoon, Tuesday night. We had a Wednesday afternoon game between the Ravens and the Steelers. Just getting those games in, it's amazing that ultimately they got, I think they got all of them in. Or did somebody play 15? I forget. Did somebody play 15 in 2020?
I think they got them all in, because the game that was the closest was like the Pittsburgh Titans game, but I think they got that in, so I think they played all of them.
I'm looking at the standings. They played all of them. Yeah, they did. And then 2021, you had a lot of schedules too, and they played all of them in 2021. Because remember, Washington had a Tuesday game against the Eagles late that year. And then, yeah. And then 2022, you didn't have any of that except, you had the DeMar Hamlin game, which meant that the Bills and the Bengals only played 16 games that year. They never rescheduled that game. Anyway, Washington, if you count the COVID Monday evening game in 2020, they've won three straight on Mondays. all against better teams. They beat Seattle in 2021, 17-15 at home. They beat the Eagles in their last Monday night game in 2022. That was the stunner when they went to Philly, went to the Link, and won on Monday Night Football 32-21. By the way, when they beat the Steelers in that COVID year, the Steelers were undefeated. They were 11-0. The Eagles, I think, were 9-0 when Washington beat them. So bigger underdogs in both of those games, and they won. They have not been very good on Monday Night Football over the years. I mean, you got to go back to the 70s to find when they did have the best Monday Night Football record in that decade when Monday Night Football was launched. But their longest win streak ever on Monday Night Football came between 74 and 76. They won 5 in a row. But now they're on the verge potentially of winning 3 scheduled Monday night games in a row, 4 in a row if you count the COVID game. But they're not supposed to win tonight, which is why, of course, they have a chance to win tonight. All right, up next, keys to a win over the Bengals tonight. We'll save predictions for later in the show. Also, if you want to weigh in, what kind of shot do you give them tonight, and how would it happen? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
I mean, he's played in some big ones, you know. It doesn't get much bigger than playing in Death Valley. There, you're playing for the Heisman. You know what's at stake and all those things. So I just want him to have fun, enjoy the moment. I mean, the whole state of Louisiana will be tuned in for that one. I know that's a guy he looks up to and respects. So I just want him to stay within himself, compete his ass off, and see where it goes.
Yeah, that was Cliff Kingsbury on Friday. Somebody asked him, you know, the message to Jaden Daniels before his first nationally televised NFL game. I remember having this conversation, you know, even about guys like Dwayne Haskins and Chase Young. And I mean, all due respect to the NFL and Monday Night Football. And it's certainly professional football. I get that. But when you've been in Death Valley for a night game against Alabama, when you've been in the swamp against Florida, when you've been at Jordan-Hare against Auburn, when you've been in Tuscaloosa, it just doesn't compare. Nothing in the NFL, very few things in the NFL actually compare to those environments and the pressure that goes with those games. Jaden will be just fine in his first nationally televised NFL game, considering that basically probably half of his games were nationally televised in primetime at LSU. That was Cliff Kingsbury from Friday. All right, let's get to Washington beats the Bengals if. And if you want to get on the phone lines at 301-230-0980, they are open right now. What kind of shot do you give Washington tonight at Cincinnati? They're the biggest underdog of Week 3. And I give them a very good shot. I'm not predicting a win yet. That could change between now and 12:45. But I've already got them in the smell test plus the 8. It was 8 points on Friday, so I'm taking that half point, even though Denton, it is 7.5 pretty much everywhere now. By the way, our coverage here on a football Monday, a Washington football Monday, is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. All right, Washington beats Cincinnati tonight if. Number one, to me, this is the easiest path, or maybe the most obvious path is the way to say it, to an upset, if you even want to call anything that happens in the NFL an upset right now. But it is to stay on the field offensively. Washington's defense through 2 weeks is the chief concern. And I think their best defense tonight against a Cincinnati team that will be desperate for a win and to avoid 0-3 will be their offense. Last week, 18 more offensive snaps in the game than the Giants. No punts, no turnovers, 7-14 on third down, 1-1 on fourth down. Keeping the chains moving on offense tonight keeps Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and tonight T. Higgins on the sidelines. That's the obvious path to having a chance to win tonight. You know, you got to run like 15 plus more offensive snaps, offensive plays than the Bengals. You got to keep the ball for, call it, 8 plus more minutes than Cincinnati has it. Like, you know, TOP, time of possession, 34 to 26, something in that area. And obviously, you've got to score when you run out of room to keep the ball longer, meaning in the red zone. And that leads to this. More on the scoring in a moment. But to keep the ball, I think tonight you've got to run it inside at an area where Cincinnati's been banged up and will be banged up again tonight. Sheldon Rankins is out. B.J. Hill is doubtful. They're two interior defensive linemen. They are vulnerable against the run right now. Now, if they decide to load up the box and you've got to throw it, that's fine. But Washington's O-line was an excellent run-blocking O-line last week against, I think, a better defensive front in the Giants. Add to that the element of, you know, the quarterback being a run threat in Daniels. I think they can run the football. New England did it in the opener. They ran it to the tune of 170 yards. Ramondre Stevenson had 120 on 25 carries. They committed to it. 4.8 yards per pop for him. Last week, Pacheco for Kansas City, before he got hurt, 19 carries, 90 yards, 4.7 yards per pop. And think about it this way. Neither the Pats with Jacoby Brissett or really the Chiefs with Mahomes have the kind of dual threat Washington has in the run game with Daniels. This could be another big rushing offense night, day. They had one against the Giants last week. Look, the Bengals may decide to sell out, load the box, and when they do, you know, you might end up having big opportunities in the pass game. Even if they're coming with quick game, you know, quick hitches, quick screens, slants. But if you want to keep seven in to protect, you block it up. Maybe you got a shot at taking some, you know, deep balls, you know, going for deep shots to maybe Terry McLaurin tonight. This is not a terrible matchup on paper for Washington's offense. No matter how basic and college-like Cam Taylor-Britt, the corner for Cincinnati, said it was, and how basic it is, it's not a bad matchup, Washington's offense against a banged-up Cincinnati defense. Number two. So number one is possess the football on offense. Make your defense tonight be your offense, holding onto the football, moving the chains. Number two is you do need to score some touchdowns in the red zone. You don't need one every time, but something better than 0 for 6 is probably necessary. I don't think you win tonight with 7 field goals. I think you're in the game with 7 field goals. But 0 for in the red zone would be really difficult to imagine being able to overcome against a team much more capable offensively of the opponent last week. I think taking shots, by the way, from just outside of the red zone or just inside the red zone, I think that's where you try to score. You know, it, now, when you get inside the, you know, 10-plus, let's see how they handle that. Will they use Daniels? I think they will. You know, do you spread it out and run against, hopefully, you know, a lighter box if you spread them out with four or five wides and it's Jaden and it's Eckler, it's Jaden and Robinson Jr. in the backfield? I don't know. But I think you do have to, in right now, today's NFL for a lot of teams, you take your shots just as you approach or you're just inside the red zone. You still have a large field. It's not as condensed as when you get to the 10 or inside it. Red zone efficiency or some level of improvement on red zone efficiency is crucial. Number three, stop the run. Now, if you've watched the Bengals on tape at all, on film, on video the first 2 weeks, you know that they don't have much of a ground game. But The Giants weren't supposed to have that before last week either. You know, since halftime of the Tampa game in the opener, Washington's given up over 5.5 yards per carry. Bucky Irving, the rookie from Oregon, ran right through them in the second half of the opener, and Devin Singletary did it much of the game last week. The good news, again, the Bengals haven't run the ball effectively. They don't have Joe Mixon anymore. That leaves Zach Moss and Chase Brown in the backfield, and they've done nothing in the first two games. But I would bet that the Bengals try to run the football more tonight. Moss and Brown don't stink, just so you know. You know, Singletary and Bucky Irving and Rashad White, you know, they ate Washington up in the first two games. So don't think that Zach Moss and Chase Brown, who I loved coming out of Illinois, I think he's got excellent vision. I think he's got really good wiggle. I think he can run the football. Don't put it past Cincinnati tonight to say the Giants ran the ball against them. Tampa ran the ball in the second half against them. Maybe we can do that as well. I think the key for Washington in stopping the run is just better gap soundness. You know, they've gotten out of position, especially with the player that comes up to the line of scrimmage, whether it's Chin or someone else. You can't become the team tonight that the Bengals get healthy against on the ground. Number three is stop the run. I think, man, watching as much NFL as we've all watched over the years, if you can't stop the run, your chances of winning are so... Forget the obvious things, turnovers, you know, penalties, self-inflicted stuff. Stopping the run, you have to do it. And they have not done it in the first two games. You have to do it tonight. Number four, third downs are huge tonight. You've got to convert them to stay on the field offensively, which, again, goes back to number one. That's your obvious, you know, path to a win. But tonight, the defense has to find a way to get off the field, even if it's getting lucky with a couple of penalties that set the Bengals back. You know, penalties are the biggest – penalties and sacks are the biggest drive killers. Sacks more than penalties, but we don't really sack the quarterback, not through two games anyway. It's to get a couple of penalties, to get them in a first and 20 or a second and 15, but you got to get off the field more on third down defensively. They've got to generate some pass rush pressure tonight. None last week, you know, against Daniel Jones. Obviously, Joe Burrow will shred a good defensive team with a pass rush. Imagine if you're an average to sub-average defensive team and you don't get one. I mean, it'll get ugly tonight when on the field defensively if they can't get pass rush on Joe Burrow. You're not going to be able to cover Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and everybody else they have offensively for long enough. By the way, on offense, you got to have a plan for number 91. Trey Hendrickson is one of the best at disrupting and pressuring a quarterback. Fourth key to a win over the Bengals tonight, third downs. Offensively, for sure. Defensively, 100%. Offensively, just remember one thing. They were 7 of 14 last week. They were 2 for 8 in week one. You know, they were pretty effective on first and second down. Now, some of that is Jaden scrambling, but you got to stay on the field with those conversions. You got to get off it with some stops. Number five, this is kind of the cliche category, but, you know, the Patriots in their upset over Cincinnati in week one, and I actually think Washington's got more potential than New England offensively. They're not as good defensively as the Pats. But the Pats got two turnovers in that win, and they didn't give up the ball once. So they were plus two in that category, and that was the difference in the game. They fumbled a punt the Bengals did that gave the Patriots a field goal, and they had a touchdown catch and run that was fumbled right at the, you know, 1 yard line, essentially. So they took 7 off the board. They got 3 from the fumbled punt. That's plus 10. They won by 6. It was rather important. That kind of swing tonight obviously puts you in the game if you're plus 2 or better. And then I think tonight is one of those nights where you didn't know what to expect in the opener against Tampa. Last week, you know, you're playing a team that, you know, the expectations were you could win the game without being spectacular necessarily. You're going to need a big play or three tonight. And I'm not talking about, you know, a possession change play, a punch out like the one St. Juice had last week, which was massive in the outcome of the game. I'm talking about a couple of those plays offensively where Jaden this week, instead of extending to scramble, extends to make a big play down the field. Not an extend and scramble for 14 yards, an extend and throw the ball down the field for 30-plus. One or two of those plays could end up being a huge difference in the game. And it would also, by the way, mark progress. Because I think really the number one teaching point from the first 2 weeks with Jaden Daniels and his coaches is when you look to extend, look to throw as well. Big opportunity in game one to Terry. Multiple opportunities in game two. Certainly one to Luke McCaffrey on the play before he got hit on the play that he took the hit on the 13-yard scramble for a first down, 14-yard scramble for a first down. He had McCaffrey for 40-plus, maybe a touchdown, maybe an 87-yard play, because that play, or 83-yard play, that play I think was from their own 17-yard line. So tonight, you know, to beat an opponent like the Bengals when they have to have it in their building, your quarterback has to make a couple of big plays. That's how you pull off these wins. That and everything else. You know, when you're a team that's kind of in between here, like they are, you know, they've got to have everything go their way. They can't have self-inflicted mistakes. They've got to keep the ball. They've got to keep Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, et cetera, off the field. But I think all those things, especially the things that involve the offense with Jaden Daniels and Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler, I think they're all possible tonight. I mean, it's not going to shock me if they go in there and they've got a chance to win the game. And I think if they do, it's because the offense really did a good job again by keeping the football. All right, we'll get what Denton thinks next. We'll save our predictions for the end of the show, right around 12:45-ish. But up next, your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you think they have a shot, A, B? How do they pull it off? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
It's a Burgundy Gold game day here on the Team 980. You got Commanders coverage all day. They're in action tonight, Monday Night Football against the Cincinnati Bengals. Pre-game starts at 6:30. It'll be myself, Linnell Willingham. Then we'll take you through the game, post-game coverage with Doc Walker as soon as the clock hits zeros across the board. Yesterday in the NFL, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs improved to 3-0 on the year with a 22-17 win over the Falcons. Baltimore gets its first win of the season, 28-25. Over the Cowboys, Derrick Henry carried the ball 25 times, 151 yards, and two touchdowns for the King. The Eagles beat the Saints 15-12. The Giants get their first win of the year, 21-15 over the Browns. Malik Nabers becomes the youngest wide receiver in NFL history to have a multi-touchdown game. And Andy Dalton became the first quarterback in 2024 to throw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns in a game in the Panthers' 36-22 win over the Las Vegas Raiders. And that's what's trending.
One other thing real quickly, too, in terms defensively tonight, because I've mentioned, you know, Burrow, the obvious, Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, who's supposed to be back tonight. Mike Gesicki's been their tight end. First year in Cincinnati. Remember several years in Miami. Big time year, the first year they went to the postseason with Tua. Was in New England last year. He has been a factor here in the first two games of the season. So they're already going to be stretched out corner-wise with receivers, their weakest position defensively with the receivers that Cincinnati has. Gesicki is a top-flight pass-catching tight end. Not Kelsey, not Hockenson, not, you know, I'm not talking about that level. But he's got talent as a pass catcher. He's been targeted 13 times in two games, has 10 catches for 109 yards in two games. You got to keep him, number 88, in mind as well. All right, before we get to the phone lines, do they have a shot? And if so, how? Denton, what do you say?
I love what you said about the run game. You know, knowing that Cincinnati's two interior guys are going to be out, knowing the success they had last week, I think it really benefits Washington. If Jayden Daniels doesn't throw more than 20 times, they're having success on offense because it means that the run game is working and it's operating the way that it should. Now, I would preface just one thing, because I want to see all of the runs. Like, if they have 40-some-odd runs today, that'd be a great, great Monday night performance. The same way they beat Philadelphia when they did on that game with Taylor
that
Heineke.
That was like 50 runs.
It was like 50 night. Runs, right. Yeah. So, like, if you can do something like that, it'd be awesome. Now, with that said, please, 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 no QB powers. Don't want to see them. I'm kind of done with the QB powers thing.
We didn't see one last week, did we? I don't think we did.
There might have been one. Like, remove that one from the playbook and allow guys like Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. You know, we talked about this earlier, I guess, last week. Austin Ekeler did not go down, I don't think, a single time at first contact against the Giants. There's something about him where he is able to bounce off tacklers, yeah. Let B-Rob and Austin Ekeler eat up, and keep that offense on the sideline. I'd be petrified right now looking at that Cincinnati offense as they're 0-2. Keep them as far away from the field as humanly possible tonight.
So my reaction to week one when they ran some quarterback counter, and they ran two different plays, quarterback counter, meaning they're pulling, you know, center guard, guard tackle, and Jaden's taking the snap and following them into, you know, looking for a hole. I hate that too. I don't want my quarterback running towards piles. I love zone read because he's out on the edge. He's read the outside, you know, defender, and he's in the clear and he can protect himself. I don't mind QB draw because typically it's the parting of the seas. You know, you spread the field out. You got to, you know, and you clear something for him where he can get, you know, through the A gap and perhaps get down. Quarterback power, quarterback counter means your quarterback's going to get tackled, as a running back would. Now, I will just mention one thing real quickly. In our talking about that, somebody who I know said, just keep in mind that some of those were trying to run away from where they're overloaded, and we think we can get daylight with the play. Okay, if with quarterback counter, you know, you can get daylight for the quarterback, that's fine, but you didn't get daylight with it in the first two game in the first two tries against Tampa. I'm with you on that 100%. All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Rodney. Rodney, do they have a chance, and if so, how?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate
sure,
it.
Sure, Rodney.
Obviously, yeah, I give them like about a 40-45% chance. Running the football is going to be key. I would love to see the dual threat be a triple threat, get Jayden involved in that running game, read options, quarterback draws, just like you said. The key, once again, to the red zone, put touchdowns on the board. Last week was just crazy, all those penalties. And I think basically you're going to have to, you know, those third and eights, if Jayden can scramble and extend those plays, keep the chains moving, keep Cincinnati off the field, I give us a great chance. And then I also think the key is getting some extra possessions, too, would help. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Let's get the W tonight.
Sure, Rodney. Appreciate it. By the way, the one thing, too, I wanted to just mention about why, you know, you see Baltimore, why you used to see Carolina, why you see, you know, they did it with Justin Fields last year. When you see the quarterback truly in designed runs versus option runs, quarterback counter would be one of them. That is the true definition of 11-on-11 football. And that's why offensive coordinators with dual threat quarterbacks like it. Because now you're truly, you know, playing 11-on-11 rather than handing the ball off or even optioning it. It's 11-on-11 in an option too, but a little bit different. But you've got 10 players blocking for the quarterback on a quarterback-designed run. Whereas with a running back, you've got 9 players blocking because the quarterback's handed the ball off and is not a blocker on the play. Let's go to Russell. Russell, go ahead. Do they have a shot tonight? And if so, how?
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Russell.
Hey, yes, I think they have a very good shot. And defensively, they need to get a pass rush, tackle, and cover. You know, your basic tenets of defensive football. If they do that, then, you know, they have a shot. Offensively, I'd like to see a little more pre-snap motion and get the ball downfield. He's going to need to make some plays downfield. I mean, down the middle of the field and get a, you know, I wouldn't mind some sort of defensive play that results in a turnover, I think would be.
Yeah. I mean, helpful. Last week, let's face it, the Benjamin St. Juice punch out, what a huge play. Because the Giants were up 12-9, Washington hadn't really stopped them much, and they were on their way to a potential 2-score lead because they weren't going to kick a field goal. They couldn't. So if they ended that drive in touchdown, it's, you know, either 18-9 or 20-9. That was such a big play in the game. Let's go to Joe in Westminster. Joe, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Hello? I'm well.
I got you, Joe. Go ahead.
Everything that you said, too, especially about the running game, but I think their best chance to win this game tonight is if Burrow and Chase go out to lunch today and get, like, bad sushi and can't play.
So that's the only way they have a shot?
Dude, I don't see them beating those guys. Our secondary, they're gonna hang 35 points on Washington tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't keep the ball and they get 11 possessions or 12 possessions in the game versus, you know, 6, 7, or 8, yeah, it's not going to turn out well. I would agree with you. More likely than not, it's not going to turn out well. Sushi, bad sushi or not, they could go into that game with an upset stomach, and if they get 11, 12 possessions, they're going to score 27-plus. 28 plus. Right now, with what we've seen, and things change, you know, we see it every week, but defensively, they just seem right now a little bit vulnerable defensively, especially against a good quarterback, and this will be the best quarterback, obviously, they have faced, and really good receivers. They faced that in week one. They couldn't check Evans. They couldn't check Godwin, and yeah, and they couldn't keep the ball long enough to kind of hang in there. Last week, they made Daniel Jones sort of rejuvenate himself. He played great yesterday, too, against a much better defense. But I agree with you. That's why the way you get it done is the way they got it done last week. You don't punt. You convert on third down. You convert on fourth down. You end each drive with points. You prefer touchdowns instead of field goals, but you keep the other team off the floor for 18 fewer snaps. That would be big. Okay, we'll do this for another half segment or so. So if you're on hold, stay there, 301-230-0980. Do they have a shot tonight? And if so, how? We'll get to the rest of the league as well coming up this hour. Wild day in the NFL. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.